the Gemara, but it's a complex issue.
Before we even get to the Sugya and Sanhedrin, I hope you all have your Ma'amakomas in front of you. That's my assumption. If not, maybe your neighbor has one. You don't have any? They give it to you. Oh, that's not good. That's not good. Who here does not have a copy of the Ma'amakomas? Raise your hand. Don't have? If you could just look all within, with it, just spread the wealth. I think if there's... Right, you know, I'd like everyone to have a copy in front. It'll be much easier for you to follow. Before we get to the Sugya and Sanhedrin, which is the opening marker, which is printed here, I'd like to make a very important prelude to this topic. The Mishnah tells us explicitly in the Sefer Nida, on Daf Mem Daled, that an individual who performs an abortion, that it's not a capital offense. We are taught that if a ben yom echad, a tinuk of one day, doesn't mean one day. It means as soon as the mother gives birth to the child, that child, after it's born, chalila v'chas, if someone murders that child, that is a capital offense. Neragolah. Clearly implying that up until that time, as long as the fetus is in the mother's womb, if an individual performs abortion, it is not a capital offense. There's a question. How did the Chazal know this? Yes, it's a Mishnah, but the Chazal, the Tanoim of the Mishnah, didn't make things up on their own. Everything has to have a source. What is the source of the Torah that abortion is not, in fact, murder? So the Ramban, in the Sefer Nida Daf Mem Daled, asks this question. There's a very interesting answer. We find in the Torah in Tarshish Mishpatim a concept of Dmei Velodos. Dmei Velodos means that if an individual was involved in a dispute and he struck a pregnant woman, and because of his actions she miscarried, he is required to pay the father, Dmei Velodos, the value of the fetus, of the child. However that is calculated is not the discussion for today. But the fact that the Torah says so in Parshas Mishpatim indicates, at least as far as the Ramban is concerned, that this is not an act of murder. We don't pay for murder. Murder is a capital offense. The person could be put to death for murder. You don't pay money for murder. And the fact that you do pay money for causing a woman to miscarry, to lose the child, to lose the fetus, indicates for the Ramban that abortion is not a capital offense. Okay, it's very important we start with a little bit of background. Now, having said this, I'm ready to approach, if you're ready to look on side with me, the famous sugya here in Masechta Sanhedrin. Page 2 on the in your source book. Omar Rav Huna, Katan Harodeif Nitan Lahatzilo Benafsha. The expression Rodeif is based on a pasuk in Sefer Dvarim. Just read it last Shabbos. And it's a concept which has become, I don't know how to say the word, politicized, but it's become, let's put it this way, a subject of political discussion in recent years. Especially since the assassination of Yitzhak Rabin. There were those who said that he was a rodef, and that led to a whole series of charges and countercharges and defenses. What Allah has to say about this? Let it be clear, leave out personalities. We are taught that Habo lehargecha, hashkem lehargo. If someone wants to kill you, you have to kill him first. Not only that, but if you see someone running after someone else to kill him, you're supposed to kill him first. It's based upon the puzzle we just read this past Shabbos. Ein Moshia lo. Someone who's wrote it, Achanara Hamurasa. Ein Moshia lo. The Gemara Darshan, Hoim Yesh lo Moshia. If there would be someone who could save her from the attacker, he would do so no matter what. Even at costing the life of the attacker, this is the case of Gili Arias, and the Gemara is a famous Gemara, Bolulameh, Benim Salameh. I'm not going into all the intricate limudim. Suffice it to say that the concept of Rodev is well established in Halach. No one argues about it. It's a fact. Koton HaRodev, though, that's something new. Rashi explains on the fourth wide line, Koton HaRodev, Es Koton Acher Lahargo. Pashas doesn't only mean Koton Acher. Rashi was assuming that the Koton will not have the ability to kill someone who's older. That's before guns. Right. Now, unfortunately, there could be Ktanim who are Acha Gedolim as well. Nita Natsilo Benasho, Kidi Alfinan Lekamoda Fayin Gimel, Rotseach Nita Natsilo Benasho, that's the Gemara to which I just referred. Vahai Acha Gav the Kotanu, Velabar Kibuli Hasrohu, the Gabe Redifa Dino Kegodol. You couldn't kill someone under Bar Mitzvah for any other capital offense, but this is an exception. Why? Kosovar Rodev Eino Tsoru Chasro Loshna Godo Loshna Kotan. There's no need to give a warning. And I believe what this indicates is if you have to give someone a warning, it means it's part of a formal judicial process. It cannot be applied to someone under Bar Mitzvah. But here, the reason why you're killing the Rodev is not because you want to kill the Rodev. You want to save the Nirdav. You want to save the life of the person whom this person is pursuing. So it's of no consequence whether the person who is pursuing him is a katan or a gadol. If he shoots him with a gun, he's going to be dead. So therefore, you have to take whatever measures have to be taken, including killing the katan in order to save the nirda. Clear? By the way, if anyone has any questions, feel free to raise your hand at any moment. Eitzir Rav Chisla Ravun. Yotza Rosho. This is the famous Mishnah which we're going to be focusing on. So Rashi explains, Yosha Rosho, V'isha HaMaksha Lele, who Misukenes. She's in childbirth, and is having a difficulty with childbirth, and her life is in danger. The Kotoni Reisha, says Rashi, HaChaya, the midwife, Poshetes Yoda, inserts her hand, V'chot Choso, and she takes the fetus and cuts it up into pieces, U'motziyoso Le'evorim, takes it out limb by limb, to save the life of the mother. The Kozman Shelo Yotzal Avir Ha'olam, says Rashi, until the fetus comes into the outside world, Lav Nefesh Hu. It is not given the status of a Nefesh, of a person, if you will. V'niten Lahargo, and you can kill that individual, that fetus. V'lahatzel Es Imo, you can save the mother by killing the fetus. That's the first part of the mission. Before the head emerged, before the childbirth. Avol, let's go back now to the Gemara itself, and then we'll see Rashi. Yotza Rosho, Einoginbo. Once the head is out, you may not touch it. Lefisha Eindocha Nefesh, Bipnei Nefesh. You can't kill one person to save another. You can't kill the child to save the mother. Rashi explains. Avol Yotza Rosho, Einoginbo Lahargo. The Havale Ki Yolud, an independent organism. The Eindocha Nefesh, Bipnei Nefesh. This is the Gemara based upon Rashi. Are there any questions before we go any further? Is it clear? It's quite clear what Rashi is saying. Okay? Yes, the Gemara Akasha. Va'amai Rodefu. Why can't you kill the fetus? The fetus is a Rodefu. The fetus is threatening the life of its mother. This should have a status of a rodent. Answer the Gemara. Shani Hosom. The Mishmaya Karat Filo. We don't view the child as a rodent. Rather, the woman is being pursued, if you will, from heaven by Hashem. And she may die not at the hands, we don't consider it to be dying at the hands of the fetus, but the hands of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the Gemara. That's the Gemara. Now, let's analyze. Yes. What do you mean it's not eroded? Very simple case. Let's go. We don't want to go into the graphics of childbirth, but there's a little bit. Childbirth is a process. Okay? The moment the top of the head, as the Gemara tells us elsewhere, comes out into the birth canal, that child is considered what we call, in our language, a yolud. That's what's called yotzer rosho. The head just emerges, the top of the head emerges from the birth canal. You see the head? The mother's still in travail, and the mother's hemorrhaging and about to die. The only way to save the mother is to take a knife and to destroy the fetus and pull it out limb by limb. Once the head emerges, you may not do that. Ask the Gemara, why not? That at the present moment, that child is a rode. That child is threatening to kill the mother. If you would kill him with a knife and cut him out, take him out in pieces, then the mother will survive. If you don't, she's going to bleed to death. It's a very good question that you asked, but I think this is the answer. Again, I'm not a doctor, not a physician, but I believe what I'm saying is true even to this day. Yes?
Why do we say that from Shabbat, but it's from Shabbat to
everyone? Very good question. Yes, a very good question. Everyone is, the whole world's from Shemayim, right? Everything's from Shemayim. So why do we, here's the answer, in my opinion. It's why Katan is considered a Rodev, just not a fetus is not. And this we'll see maybe later today, has tremendous implications in other cases. I believe that in order to be viewed as a Rodev, you have to have intention to kill someone. You have to know what you're doing. You are a Rodev, you are a pursuer. A pursuer means someone who is doing something to, literally, pursuing someone to kill him. Now, you could be 10 years old and not be Bar Onshin, but you still have a gun and you know, when you saw the movies, you shoot this gun, the guy's going to die. You are a pursuer at age 10. Right? But if you're a baby that's just 1 minute old, you're not pursuing anything. There's no thought process. You just do the natural thing of trying to get out. That's considered to be Shemayim Karat for it. Okay? So we're not going to say that an individual, you know, we accept Nebuch. We're talking now in September. Remember, today is September 11th. Rachmana Litzlan, September 11th, the day we're never going to forget. With the whole pilpul discussion, would it have been mutter for the Air Force to shoot the plane out of the sky before we entered the World Trade Center? You know, that was a whole part of the whole discussion. Would it have a status of a rode? No question that the pilot, Yamach Shemo, had a status of a rodev. He was already going to kill people by piloting a plane into the World Trade Center. No doubt that if you could kill this pilot, if he was in a fighter plane, there would be no question you should kill him and have the plane go down. He would die and spare the thousands of people their lives. No question about it. What complicates the World Trade Center question is that not only was a pilot on the plane, but there were also other innocent civilians on the plane. That's not the topic of today. Maybe next week, if we have time, we can just bring it in as an aside. But I'm just going to, that's not, you'll say, it's Menashe Mayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu just declared in his wisdom, which we don't understand, why a five enemies can time and overcome an entire plane. But we don't understand. Just we don't understand what happened 2 days on Yerushalayim. We don't understand. We can't, it's not beyond our understanding. But what do we do understand? A suicide bomb is eroded. It's not a political statement. A suicide bomber is a rose. The guy's coming at you. I put the grip just to make it clear. I'm a suicide bomber. And he said, I'm gonna bolt myself up in 60 seconds. The mitzvah, take a gun and shoot him now. Not even a question about that. That is saving all the people, at the, even though he's costing the life of the rode. This is a double push. Okay? You don't think it's Shemayim. Well, everything's from Shemayim. But that's what the Gemara means. Okay? Yes? Please, let's leave out the Rambam. We'll get to it. We will get to the Rambam at length. Right. Let's not insert him yet.
Right, but I'm saying that the Shemayim Karat could be understood either as meaning it's a natural process, which is like giving birth.
Right.
But in the cases that you mentioned now, where it's not a natural process, but the person who is quote unquote a that middle area where it might not be a natural process, but it's not someone doing so out of volition.
Absolutely. Absolutely, it's absolutely true. I mean, just to give an example, which I'm not going to go into now, what will happen if you have an individual who's in a car? He's in a car, and because the car is going, and he's about to run the car right into a shopping mall, there are hundreds of people, and whose lives are all in danger by this car. What's this guy doing? Not doing anything. His brakes failed. His brakes failed. So, you know, the thing to do, of course, I guess if you're on the outside, is shoot out his tires and hope he'll just stop before he gets to the crowd. What would be the case if you, that's not an option. Only way, Chalila, I mean, it's so frightening to think of these things. If you kill the driver, somebody that's going to, I don't know how it's going to help either, but that's a luyu to you. If you kill the driver, you save 50 people from being plowed into and killed by this driver whose brake failed. Just giving you, showing you examples how these things can be very complicated. But let's stay away from that for the moment. You want to talk a little about the topic of abortion. Okay? Good. Ask the Ramban Akasha. Ramban wants to know if a child under the age, in utero, a fetus in utero, is not considered to be in the category of a nefesh. That's what Rashi said. Rashi said so beferish. Rashi said that before he's born, lav nefeshu. We just read it. Asks the Ramban, what about pikuach nefesh on Shabbos? Let's say someone comes to you on Shabbos, a pregnant woman, and she's bleeding, and the doctor looks at her and says, you know what? Lady, if you stay here, you're going to lose the child. You'll be okay. You're going to lose the child. If you run, if you drive to the hospital, you can still save the child. Let me ask first. Lemaisa. What's the din? Who knows the din? Who knows? Run to the hospital. Okay. Now, there are a whole variety of reasons why this is okay. One of the reasons is it makes the question somewhat moot. You go to the hospital because the miscarriage itself could be dangerous, and you may have to go to save the life of the mother. Okay, so that moots out the question somewhat. But what about in principle? The mother's going to survive no matter what. It's just a matter of the child. Maybe Michal Shabbos, the assumption, general assumption is yes. The question the Ramban raises, there in Nidah Daf Mem Dalet, why? Why? How can you call it Pikuach Nefesh if it's not a Nefesh? So the Ramban answer is a very interesting answer. His answer is a very famous drasha in the Masechta Yuma. There are a number of drushas from which we derive Pikuach Nefesh. The most famous, I guess, it's v'chai b'hem v'lo shiyamos b'hem. That's the concluding drasha. That's Shmuel's drasha. And everyone else has a pircha. But perhaps equally famous drasha is as follows. The Gemara says, v'shamru b'nei Yisrael es ha-Shabbos. That's very nice. But the Gemara dashes on it, chalel olav Shabbos achas k'dei sheyishmor Shabbosos harben. We may, perhaps must, desecrate one Shabbos to save this person's life so that he or she may keep many Shabbosos. Says the Ramban, it's true that a fetus is not a nefesh, and therefore presumably v'chai b'hem would not apply. Asher yasa osam ha'odom v'chai b'hem. This is not yet an odom. But if you're taking into account the calculus of chalal olav Shabbos achas, k'desh yishmar Shabbosos harbe, even though this fetus is not yet an adam, not yet a nefesh, nonetheless the potential is there for the fetus to observe many Shabbosos, and as a result, we are required to be mechalal Shabbos achas to save the life of the fetus. Incidentally, there's a remarkable nitziv in the Hamak Shelef, a remarkable nitziv. There's a Tosfos in Masechta Bava Metzia. Tosfos in Masechta Bava Metzia is discussing Eliyahu de Tchias HaMeisim, as we all know from the Sefer Malachim. So, something like CPR. So the question is raised, Tchias HaMeisim. Eliyahu was a Kohen, according to some versions. And a Kohen may not touch a person who's dead. He answers Tosis. Eliyahu was certain that he'd be able to bring this child back to life, and as a result, it was permissible for him, even as a Kohen, in order to touch a Tmei Mace, in order to become Tmei Mace, touch a Mace, in order to bring the Mace back to life. So writes Tosis. So the Tziv asks, yes?
Why does this say
if you certain? Oh, that's the Tziv's Kasha. Why must he be certain? It's a famous rule. Safek pikuach nefesh. Not only Safek, the Gemara has a Masechta Ksubis, I believe we learned last year. Ein holchet bepikuach nefesh achar harov. Even if there's a less than 50% chance, you still are violating Shabbos or presumably other Aveiros in order to help save a life. And that's true halacha l'maisa. Someone tells you he has a heart pain. Probably it's only heartburn. If you can't disprove the possibility of a heart attack, you got to take him to the hospital. I with a chance of 10 to 1, it's not a heart attack, it doesn't matter. You run. And if it turned out it's heartburn, it doesn't matter. You have a mitzvah, not an aveira. Because then holcha nachar harov. So why the Tosfos introduce certainty? Moreover, the Bahalachos Gedolos, I believe, says that if a fetus is in stress, if you know for sure that the fetus is going to die without your intervention and will live with your intervention, you may be mechal al Shabbos. Once again, it introduces certainty. And the question is, why certainty? We have a klal that you don't need certainty, you don't even need probability. Even a minority chance is enough to warrant chilul Shabbos. Answers in a tziv, a brilliant answer. When someone is alive, is an Adam, we derive Ashayas Osam Ha Adam V'chai Bohem. Therefore, we say Pikuach Nevesh is Doche, even based on a minority chance. However, in these two cases, a person who's died and a person who is yet unborn, they share one common thing. Neither is an Adam. We saw that a fetus is not a Nefesh. And someone who's dead is certainly not a nefesh. He's dead. You can bring him back to life. Very nice. They only base yourself not on v'chai behem, but only on what? Chalal olav Shabbos achas, k'deshe yishmar Shabbosos harbe. And if you recall the Gemara in Yuma, v'chulu istu pirchu levar mishmuel, the Gemara says about this drasha, ashikhon vadai sofek minayim. For based on v'chai behem, we have no, cannot prove that even for a sofek v'kuach nefesh, we can be Mechal Shabbos. Hence the Nesim says, the Tosfos and Bava Metzia and the Vahag, who require certainty, are limited to cases of non-Nefesh, namely someone who's died, or someone who was as yet unborn. That's the Nesim's Chiddush.
Rabbi, isn't the first 30 days in NATO,
right.
So is the
subject
also a
Nesim? Very good question. An excellent question. The truth is that in Naval, the first 30 days, that status is limited to certain instances. For example, if the Pesukim say, if Kolu Lo Chadoshov, it was a full-term delivery, we don't give a status of a Naval. We don't say a Naval, we don't view Naval as a 50-50 suffix, even in the case where it's less than full-term. But that's... So, even so, you wouldn't say it's a 50-50. It's more than just a chassid. No one would say, to my knowledge, that you can't be Mechal Shabbos if it's not a certainty in the case of a child that's 2 weeks old. I never heard of that. Even the what the Bahag said we don't accept. We accept at least because of the Pekuach Nefesh of the mother that we run even a small chance of a miscarriage. This is all the Pilpula. It's not Lamaisa. Yes?
So if someone says eat this pork or I'll kill the fetus, it doesn't apply because that is what happened. Or any other.
No, I believe that even according to this understanding would work for the same reason. Not only chal of Shabbos achas, k'deshi yishma Shabbos is harbe. Eat pork achas, k'deshi yishma Shabbos is harbe. Pork is less of an issue than chil Shabbos. That's what I would say. Offhand. Yes?
Yeah, but then according to the Ramban, in the case of a tubar, the mother is pregnant with the tubar, and the likelihood is that the tubar won't last long. Kind of a fatal illness that the doctors know ahead of time. Would you also say that, for let's say, just for Hayishah, situation like that, then you should not say.
Very good question, which I will not answer now. Chai Shah is something which I don't really, I don't know if you have the luxury even to get into that in this short span of time we're supposed to talk about abortions. Maybe if we have time we'll talk about Chai Shah, maybe. Rabosai, let's go back. There is a Sridei Eish. The Sridei Eish is in Chela Gimel Siman Kuf Chav Zayin. He claims that according to the Ramban, who said that killing a fetus is not a capital offense based upon the Xeris Akotsav of Dmei Vlados, that there is no Isur de Oraisa to perform an abortion. It's purely an Isur de Rabbanon. So writes the Sridei Eish of Bechil Yaakov Weinberg, one more time. But according to the Ramban, he claims it's an Isser Midirabonim. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zichrono Levracha, in a tshuva, says that's absolutely inconceivable. And I believe he's correct. The Ramban never said that abortions are an Isser Dirabonim. Never, ever said that. All he said was, it's not a capital offense. There are many Isurim Midirabonim that are not capital offenses. Seems to me, therefore, that the Sridei Eish's Pshat is very, very difficult. Very difficult. Very difficult. However, Rav Moshe goes to the other extreme and says, since it's clearly an Issa min HaTorah, we'll show other sources as well, it must be an Issa of Ritzicha, an Issa of murder. Rav Moshe is the one who says that abortion is murder. You see these placards sometimes. Sometimes the Catholics have them up. Abortion is murder. So Rav Moshe agrees. Abortion is murder. Not a capital offense. But so what? There are other cases of murder which are not capital offenses. Can anyone think of another case which a person murders someone but is not considered a capital offense? Yeah? Rama, okay. Okay, yes. Shogeg, okay, that's it. Trefa, right, Trefa, yeah. Three. There are other examples. There can be murder which is not punishable by death. So Rav Moshe says that abortion belongs in that category. Murder it is, but there is no capital punishment. That's Rav Moshe's view. However, truth to tell, if you look carefully in the Ramban and other sources, you don't get the impression that it's murder. You get an impression that it's not murder. Even as far as the Rashi is concerned. When Rashi said it's not a nefesh, so if it's not a nefesh, you wouldn't call it murder. Murder is, right? When you kill a nefesh, it is not a nefesh. Of course, the question then becomes, how can you have a halfway point? If it's Dirabonan, I understand the Sridei Eish. If it's murder or Gemersh, I also understand. But if you want to say it's an Issa de Oraisa, but it's not murder, well, got to pick an Issa. You know, there are 365 Lavin. Which one is it going to be? If you want to say it's Asim and HaTorah, what Issa and HaTorah might it be if it's not considered to be murder? What is it? You can just romanticize and say it sounds Asim and HaTorah. You have to have a source, a rigorous source, for Issa d'Oraisa. So in the Achronim, there were three suggestions made. Very interesting suggestions. The Sridei Eish himself says, according to the Rambam, who holds the d'Oraisa, he claims, an amazing thing. Mavsid mamona d'Baal. We spoke about the Dmei Vlados before. That you are causing a loss of value, if you will, to the father. Somehow the father is considered to have certain rights over the fetus. By the way, that's relevant to some extent, some of the recent issues that you may have read about of situations in which a couple underwent IVF and then the couple broke up, and the question is who owns the potential embryo and someone in a freezer somewhere. That's complicated. There is at least a partial bias in favor of a father because of the fact that the Dmei Vlados, you pay the father the money if you hit the mother and cause her to lose a child. Again, I'm not going into that, and I'm just mentioning it as an aside. So according to Rav Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, Is it Isa Daraisa because you are causing a loss to the father? That's a dangerous phraseology. Why? What if the father agrees? Be my guest, do the abortion. So many of the abortions that happen in America today are because the father insists on it. Are you aware of the fact that it happens even in, amongst people in the B'nai Yisrael and even in Eretz Yisrael? You should speak to a man named Rabbi Katz, who runs an organization called Just One Life. Rabbi Katz lives in Queens. He can tell you story after story in which the father insists on an abortion be done because he can't afford to support the child, or maybe it's the father who's not married to the mother, whatever they're going into, whatever the gory details are. So according to Rabbi Chiliak and Weinberg, the issue is about the rice based upon you're causing a loss to the father. You mean to tell me if the father says do it, there would be no violation of the Daraisa? It's hard to accept. The Chavis Yoyer.
Okay.
Again, I don't want to put too many words, but I think you may have it in front of you, the Sri Deish somewhere in the back. If you look at it, here it's. I see page 36 happens to is the end of this tshuva. You can look at your own time. The Chavis Yoyer says an amazing thing. He wants to base it on the Isser of Hashchosas Zera. Hashchosas Zera is a well-known violation. According to the Chavis Yoyer, If one may not destroy the male seed when it's in a form of sperm or semen, how much more so is it prohibited to destroy that seed when it's taken on the form of a fetus? An Isser of Hashchosas Zera. Quite an original thought by the Chavis Yoyer, Simen Lamed Aleph. When a person is born, there's an Easter of Ritzicha. So they don't have to come on, as you say, throw an extra, you want to throw that on him too? Go ahead. These two answers, frankly, are both so, I don't want to say that this, it's just so remarkable, that we were looking for a simpler answer. Yes? That's what the Chavis Yoyer says. But let's get down to a more pashut of pshat. Maybe you can suggest it, someone in the room can suggest it. What might be an Issa d'Oraisa, a standard, not wacko Issa d'Oraisa, which would less fall short of Ritzicha, but we want to remember, these are not Lavim and Atorah. Neither the Beit Lotus nor Shchoser is a Lavim d'Oraisa. I want a real honest to goodness Lavim d'Oraisa, one of the 365, which might be the source for the Easter of abortion. Yes? Chavala, correct. That's the answer. That's the simplest answer. Chavala, wounding. We may not wound a Jewish person. It's actually based on the passage we read very recently. Right. What does it say? Lo Yosef, Pen Yosef, Lakoso Makarava. We just read it. V'nikla chichol einecho. It's the Easter of Chavala. Chavala, not Chavala on the fetus, no. Chavala on the mother, because the fetus is part of the mother, and just as you would not be permitted to cut off the finger of the mother, that would certainly be an Isra of Chavala against the mother, so too, you may not cut out the fetus. Now, by the way, if the mother says, cut off my finger, may you or may you not? No. So too, if the mother says, please, I'll give you $1,000, take the fetus out of my body, the answer is also no. Yes. Of course, amputations are prohibited unless, of course, it's necessary for the saving the life of the mother. Now, one sec, slow. Chavala is permitted in some cases, which are not quite saving lives of an individual. I don't want to go into every detail. But there are people today who are doing chavala. Remember, when you cause someone to bleed, that's called chavala. Correct? You look in the sugyas. If someone hits someone, cause someone to bleed, it's chayav and nisa d'oraisa of chavala. Individuals are undergoing chavala processes voluntarily, not only when their lives are in danger. much less than your life is in danger. You go to the dentist, your life is not in danger. But, you know, after a while, there says, please rinse. Famous last words. Please rinse. And when you rinse, what do you see? Inevitably. Blood. But your life is in danger. No. The answer is there's no need to have pikuach nefesh to be matir what the dentist is doing. What the dentist is doing is halacha l'maisa permissible l'chatchila. Why? The answer is that although chavala is a Torah prohibition, if the chavala is done l'zorech for a purpose, then the chavala is warranted and is not a Torah prohibition, not even a rabbinical prohibition. Clearly, to take care of your dental hygiene, and to the, according to today's science, when they try to get rid of that plaque or remove that cavity, and the drilling, whatever, they're causing bleeding, that's considered in the long term to be better for your teeth. So it's warranted, so it's necessary, and therefore there's no prohibition. Now, of course, it's a very open question, which we'll discuss in great detail. If that's the case, if indeed abortion is an issue of Kavala, could there be a reason short of saving someone's life which would make this kind of a Kavala warranted? But before going into detail, I'll give you my overview. My overview is it all depends on the nature of the Kavala and the nature of the need. If to save your dental health, you're going to a dentist who's getting rid of the plaque and it's causing you to bleed as a result, so we paskin halacha that it's mutter. We take into account how great the chaval is, a little blood's coming out. What is to be gained by this chaval? Your good teeth as opposed to losing your teeth or whatever other things could happen. And we say it's worth it. We do the cost-benefit analysis. And we say it's worth it. This is required in every case of chaval. As you probably know, there's a major issue in the poskim about cosmetic surgeries. Are they warranted la halacha or not? Many poskim say no. What right to do cosmetic surgery? The health is not in danger. The cosmetic surgery is a chavala. Not going to now either. Just giving you an example of where these questions come up. Yes, sir.
What happens if the son is the dentist and the father is the patient?
That's a very serious question. Most dentists, thank God, operate as pairs. Most dental offices have two partners. Most, right there. At least coverage for one another. They have to ask coverage. Okay. So what I tell people who have coverage is have your coverage take care of your father, you take care of the coverage's father. You know that? But it is a serious question. Because the issur of make ovid v'imo mos yumos, which is a separate issur of the parashas mishpatim, over and above the general issur of Kabbalah v'akov, is a very serious one. And the simple reading of the Gemara is that it one violates that even in circumstances when I'm not discussing pikuach nefesh, but it's not pikuach nefesh. I think a person would be well advised to get someone else to do it. The only problem is there are some fathers, present company excluded, who are insistent. Only my son, the dentist. I paid his tuition in dental school. Only my son, the dentist, is going to do my teeth. That's not a smart attitude, the halacha. Let your son, the dentist, do someone else's teeth. And his partner, let him do your teeth, and they'll make a switch. That's the best way to handle these things. Yes?
No, it seems that the Gemara is complete with the incident of Akaz Asdam. There you're making a Kapura.
Absolutely. Akaz Asdam was viewed by the medicine of antiquity, as being helpful. You know what they call that today? Coumadin. You know what that means? It's the most one of the popular drugs in America today. It's a blood thinner. Presumably, I'm not going into medicine myself, I assume that the bloodletting then was the blood thinning of today. Okay? So that was considered to be therapeutic and therefore was permissible. Let me get off this topic now and go discuss the following question. Yes? So the one who says it most convincingly is the Sefer Toras Chesed. Toras Chesed by the Lublin Rebbe, a very good Shuvah Sefer. He says this yisod. Evan Ezra Simon, Mem Beis. Now, the question, of course, becomes, who's right? So let's set aside for the moment the Chavos Yor, the Shetrit Yesh, a little bit off the beaten track, it seems. We'll have the Torah's Chesed on the one hand, and the Igros Moshe on the other hand. These are clearly Achronim. Neither of whom would want to be in a position of arguing with the Rishonim. That's not a good place to be. So, what do the Rishonim say about this issue? Let's go back to the Rishonim. All we have in Rashi is one thing. Rashi says, Kol zman shelo yotza l'avir ha'olam lav nefeshu. What does that sound like? Offhand, the first reading of the Rashi, what does it sound like? Is it an Easter of a murder or not an Easter of murder? What do you say? Not a murder, right? Not murder. That's a riot to the Sefer Torah's Chesed. It's not murder. Now, the Ran in Masech Tehulin, I think you have that in your source book. The Ran in Masech Tehulin has the following question: a woman is pregnant and is guilty of a capital offense. It's page. Here is the page number. I guess, well, 7. Page 7. It says, Rabbeinu Nissim Chulin. Okay? He's discussing a fascinating question about Uba Yerechimo or Lav Yerechimo, or Sugya Ben Pekua, not to go into the details right now. But in the context of this, the Ran quotes a Gemara Masechta Erechim. The last quote, about 12 lines from the bottom of the page. Vayinami de erechin dav zayin, the isha hayotza lehoreg, ein mamtinin lo acha teleg. You don't wait until she gives birth to the blood. You kill her with the blood. Why don't you wait? Wait a few months. La mishem ubi erechimu, elakevan shimuchu yevis miso, ein ma'anin es dina. We're going to keep her in death row for 6 months. That's only an American thing. And a piece the other person sentenced to death, the next day is killed, that's it. What about the Vlad? The Bein Shalala, the Vlad, innocent Vlad, says the Ran. V'la Vlad, Kevan Shalo Yotza La'avira Olam, Lo Chayshinon. Lo Chayshinon. We're not worried about the fact that we're taking this Vlad and this fetus and we are destroying it. By killing the mother, you're sentencing the fetus to death. Doesn't matter. Why? Kevan shelo yotza la'avir ha'olam. What would that sound like? Like Rav Moshe that it's murder? Like the Torah's Chesed that it's not murder? Rabbi said, what do you say? Not murder. If it's murder, what do you mean lo chashina? You're going to murder a fetus because to spare the mother of Inu Yadin? That would be a very big chiddush. So these sources sound like they're a little bit against that which the opinion of Rav Moshe. Now, Rav Moshe though insists that he's right, according to Rashi, according to Ran, according to everybody. Just look at the tshuva, you'll see how he tries to defend himself. It seems to me, to use an expression, the kasha is better than the teretz. It seems the pashup shot needs to be shown him is that it's not considered to be an issur of murder. However, on the other hand, it's an issur d'oraisa. That's clear. Against the Sridei Esh. Against the Sridei Esh. If you look on the previous page, page 6, but once again, the Sechta Chulin is quoted. Here is this time it's a Tosis in Chulin. A Tosis in Chulin is a remarkable halacha which the Gemara introduces. It's in the Sechta Chulin. It also talks about it in the Sechta Sanhedrin as well, which goes as follows. Mi'ika midi. Is there ever a case? You can see it's quoted over here in the Tosis Echot on the third line. Leka midi de Yisrael shari ula oved kochavim osa. As the Gemara puts it in a questioning sense, right here in the Gemara in Chulin, about a third of the way down the page. Mi'ika midi. The Yisrael Shari will the Ovik Achavim Asur. No, Am Yisrael has committed extra additional mitzvahs above and beyond those 7 mitzvahs given to the nations of the world, the 7 mitzvahs they know. That's an assumption. Okay. So Tosis is bothered by a number of things. And they ask the question as follows. If you look on the left margin, it's an Ein Mishpat, Ner Mitzvah. When that ends, before it says Shita Mekubetzes, that's where I'm reading different Tosfos. The Yaf Al Gav De Ben Noach Nerag Ala Ubrin Kida Omar Hasam. The Gemara says that a guy who is guilty of an abortion is put to death. The Yisrael Eino Nerag, as we saw in Mishnah Nida, Yisrael is not put to death. Wait a minute. This means that a Yisrael is getting away easy compared to a guy. So we can't have that, says Tosfos. No. Nay, the potter, even though if a Jew commits abortion, he's potter, it's not a capital offense. Mikomakom lo shari. It's not permissible. Now, it's clear from this Tosfos, on what level is it not permissible? On what level? On both sides. Midoraisa. It's not the Rabbana. You're stuck on the level of Midoraisa. Okay. So it's clear as an Iser the Oraisa. Not, seems to be no doubt about that. But of course the question becomes, what is the nature of the Iser de Orais? So for this we have to look at a fascinating Tosfos in the Masechta Sanhedrin, which is printed here on page 5. If you don't have maybe some Gemara Sanhedrin around, for the Sanhedrin this year, maybe they'll be able to see it there. Again, the last Tosfos on Nun Tesef and Aleph, Lekka Midim to the Yisrael Shari. There's nothing which is permissible for Yisrael, and it's prohibited to a god. If you open the Gemara Sanhedrin, you'll see it in the real Gemara. Nun Tes Amar Aleph, the last Tosfos. B'dvashu mitzvah liYisrael, lo armin anachi. It only applies when for Yisrael it's neutral, it can't be prohibited for a god. But if it's a mitzvah for Yisrael, it can be prohibited for a god. For example, Shabbos. Shabbos. For us, Shabbos is a mitzvah. Everyone knows the famous Gemara, goy should Shabbos, what? Chayav Misa? Okay. Fine. V'ala Ubrim, the second half of the Tosfos. The Ovek Ochavim Chayav, Yisrael Potter, Avagav the Potter, Mikomakom, Lo Shari. The same as they said in Masech Lechul. Now comes the sticky part. Mil Koshet, we just done an iron base. Yotza Rosho, Ein Nogin Bo, Dein Dochin Nefesh Mipnei Nefesh. Avol Kodem She Yotza Rosho, Hachaya poshetas yoda v'chot chosolei varma motzia k'til ha'atzel es imo. That's the Mishnah in the Sechta Olos. Ask Tosfos Akasha v'chi ha'gavna ba'oved kochovim osur kevan shehuzaru ala ubrim. The Tosfos, the Makshin assumes that although a Jew may perform a therapeutic abortion to save the life of the mother, a non-Jew may not perform such an abortion. Why not? Says Tosfos, very simple. For a non-Jew, abortion is a capital offense. That's what it means. Huzaru al-Urban, we saw earlier. The guy is can be put to death for abortion. Since the guy can be put to death for an abortion, he may not perform an abortion, says Tosfos in the Kasha, even to save the life of the mother. So you have a case. A real life case, the mother is going to die if there's no abortion. What's the din? For a goy, it is prohibited, and for a Jew, it's permissible. That goes against the rules. So something has to bend. There are two terutim of Tosfos. The first terut, the Yesh Lomar, the Hanami be Yisrael mitzvah kedei lahatil. We said at the very beginning of this Tosfos, Rishus versus Issa Kenabi. Can it be permissible for a Jew and prohibited for a guy? But what it can be is mandated for a Jew and prohibited for a guy. Like keeping Shabbos, it's mandated to kill the child to save the mother. That's terrorist number one. Not rejecting the original assumption that a therapeutic abortion for a non-Jew is prohibited. Second terrorist. The Evsha, da filu ba'ove kochovim shari. No. Maybe a non-Jew is permitted to perform a therapeutic abortion in order to save the life of the mother. Now there's a raging battle, Alfa Abdullah, in the Catholic Church. The Pope holds Lahavdil like the first day of Tosfos. Now I'm serious, the official Catholic policy, to my knowledge, unless I'm wrong, is that you may not perform an abortion even to save the life of the mother. I believe that's the official doctrine in Rome. Am I correct? I'm on top of this? Okay. Right. There's a revolt in the Christian, the Catholic Church. They don't get to ask you think of this. They all like the Chavdol. Like the second day in Tosfos in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph. that a non-Jew may perform an abortion to save the life of the mother. Is everyone with me? It goes this dispute. I'm sorry, it sounds a little bit irreverent. But the dispute, which is now in the Catholic Church, goes back to 2 days in Tosfos, the last line, Sanhedrin, that's New Testament out. I wonder if anyone ever brought this to their attention. Yeah.
They don't have Esther B'chaim.
Oh. Do they or don't they?
That's the Bahen.
It's a very good question. Very good question. The Gemara seems to say in Masechta Sanhedrin, on Av'ai and Dalid, that there is a heter of Pikuach Nefesh for a non-Jew. It's a discussion which is a bit complicated. It has to do with the story of Naaman. If you recall, Naaman was told by the king, that's with the tzaras, it's Haftorah, the tzaras of his master, and he told him that he's going to came to Elisha, and he was cured in the Yarden, and he comes to Elisha and says, you know, maybe I should be forgiven for bowing down with my master by the pagan god. I have no choice, etc., etc. That's the source of Sanhedrin HaFayin Dalet as far as this is concerned. Parshat Pshat, that there is a heter of Pikuach Nefesh for a non-Jew. And the question that becomes, if there is a heter, why would it not apply over here? So here's the answer of Bosai. Rav Osler, listen very carefully. There is no heter of Pikuach Nefesh for the Gimel Averus HaChamurus. Another sin that's an of iron down. What are the big three? We don't know the three cardinal sins. What are they? Come on. One is Gili Arayis. One is Avodah Zarah. And what concerns us is what? Shvichas Damim is murder. So now let's figure this out. Is it murder or is it not murder? So we can make the following suggestion. Whether it's murder or not will depend upon whether it's a capital offense or not. If it's a capital offense, it has to be, presumably it's murder. If it's not a capital offense, then it's not murder. So something very interesting emerges. For a non-Jew to perform an abortion, since it's a capital offense, is considered to be murder, and therefore the heter pikuach nefesh does not apply. For a Jew who does not have a capital offense if he performs an abortion, and therefore it's not considered to be murder, therefore he must perform an abortion to save the life of the mother. That's a remarkable analysis. What emerges is abortion murder or not? Depends who you ask. Depends for whom. According to this analysis, for a Jew it's not considered to be murder. For a goyim, how does the Gemara know? The Gemara says it's a remarkable drasha. Who knows the drasha from which the Gemara derives that a non-Jew who performs abortion is subject to a death capital? Who knows the puzzle? Correct. Shofech, the simple reading is Shofech dam ha'adam, comma, whoever kills a person, ba'adam damo yishofech, should be put to death in court by a human being. But the Gemara darshins, Shofech dam, someone who kills, ha'adam ba'adam, a person that's in a person, damo yishofech, referring to B'nai Noach, that they have for them abortion as a capital offense. When the Torah was given on Sinai, let's assume to make blood, the parashat Mishpatim, the halacha changed for Am Yisrael. For us, it's not a capital offense. Okay? Whatever the reason may be, if it's a capital offense, it's therefore considered to be murder for Goyim. And there is no heter pikuach nefesh because there's no heter pikuach nefesh for murder. Why can we do it? Because for us, it's not murder. Yes? It's a very good question. So this presumably the second day holds shofech dam ha'adam ba'adam yishavach is exeris v'katzim ba'alma. But even though it's not murder, because it's not obvious, nonetheless, you kill him anyway for whatever reason. And therefore, pikuach nefesh is dochen. But the first day in Tosfos says no. But the nature of the exeris v'katzim is that's considered to be murder. You can always look at these things two ways. What's the pasuk telling you? That it is murder or that it's not murder? So those are the 2 days in Tosfos, presumably. Yeah? Good? So far, so good? Now. Yeah, sure.
Although this might not be appropriate here, but just in terms of the logic, I mean, how do the Rishonim who deal with this issue explain that a fetus of the Jew is not considered a nefesh, but from a logical point of view, I mean, one would have that from goy should certainly not be considered a nefesh, unless you say that it's only vis-a-vis a goy himself. In other words, it's not a goy who kills a fetus, for that, for the goy, is considered a nefesh. But for a Jew, it's not considered a nefesh.
That's correct. What you're saying now is correct. Now, you asked me, Tama the Krah, the reason.
Not
I don't have a reason.
The logic.
That's so.
Not the Tama. I mean, does it make sense? I mean, how do you explain that it would be a nefesh for one, not a nefesh for the other? Just the logic.
Your question is a very, very difficult question to answer. I can see that it's difficult. I will make one suggestion shortly, but. On a basic level, it's very hard to understand why this should be. I must tell you, though, that one can argue that it's not a nefesh at all. Not a nefesh for Yisrael, not a nefesh for a goy either. But afal pikein, since it's a capital offense, the goy would be put to death, or would not be permitted to perform this abortion, even to save a life. And let me explain as follows. The reason why we may save a life and do an abortion is because of the overriding concern of a chai bahem. Right? That's how we violate Isurim in order to save lives. Right? Maybe we can make the following suggestion. We'll discuss this. I don't want to give away too much of the future discussion. I'm sorry, yeah?
It could be simply that he would put me in halachically, what is a nefesh? For a Jew, it's not a nefesh. And for halachically, for a goy, it's a nefesh. What's the problem?
Okay.
We have things like that.
Yeah. I'm not taking that seriously. It's a problem. It's something difficult to understand. There is one way we can understand it, which makes sense without, but I'm not sure if this is correct for the Tosfos. According to the Rambam, I have greater faith that it's correct. That is as follows. Really, it's not Ritzich at all. The real Ritzich, that's really not. Not an Nefesh. But, what abortion does is it snuffs out the potential of life. Now, there are many situations in the Gemara and Sanhedrin that a person does something causing a life to end, but yet because of the certain technicalities, it's not considered an act of murder and he will not be put to death. The general category that we can lump these under is what we call in our language, who knows? Gram Ratzicha. Excellent. Causing death. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Melachim that a non-Jew who does such an act of Gram Ratzicha is put to death. A Jew is not. A non-Jew is. And there is some, I believe the Avnei Nezer suggests this, that abortion is the equivalent of a Gram Ratzicha. Because of what you did, you didn't really kill a human, because it's not a nefesh yet, but because of what you did, he won't come into this world, and it's an effect of destruction initially, before even get started, of human life. The Rambam puts together the same halacha, both Gram Ratzicha and abortion as being capital offenses for non-Jews, then we could perhaps, to some extent, answer your question with a measure of logic. It's not a matter of Ratzicha as such, it's really Gram Ratzicha, but Gram Ratzicha itself, for a non-Jew, Yechayim, and for a Jew, Yepatim. Why that's so is a different story. That could be because B'nai Noach have their own rules and regulations. B'nai Noach, as you'll see, that doesn't need a Hasra, doesn't need a lot of things, doesn't need to aid them. There's a different system of law for B'nai Noach, which could be more rigorous in certain ways. So in other words, we would be prohibited from doing it. It's Gram Ratzicha. It wouldn't be a violation of the Mi'ika Midi principle. But nonetheless, for us, it would not be a capital offense. And for Najwa, it would, by Gram Ratzicha, and perhaps by abortion as well. That makes a little sense if you want to put it into a logical framework. Perhaps, yes.
So for a non-Jew, you could put him in death for birth control also. And
I play
a cop, or?
Whoa. I want to disavow that statement, because someone will come and say, I agree, that if a knowledge takes a birth control pill, you kill him. No, please, they already put to death the anti-abortion activists last week. I'm not interested in joining his company. You can't do anything violent, please. Not on my say-so.
No, but the question is that's kind of following it to an extreme logical conclusion.
It's an illogical conclusion, I believe.
Why is it illogical? If Grand Matzita,
you know, it says in the Gemara, but you have to understand, you have to go to a certain point. The Gemara says in Masechta Yevamos that somebody who does not get married is Ki'ilu Shofet Ranam. Why? So what's the pasuk right after that? The next pasuk. So it was about Karim Pashas Noach. Vatem Puru Ravu. Right? Right after the pasuk we just read. So someone who's not always looking for Puru Ravu, it's as if he's a Shofet Ranam. Alright? So do you mean to say that an unmarried guy should also be killed because Ki'ilu Shofet Ranam? The answer is no. Not hesitate here. No hesitations here. It's almost in the Sana Tokif time. No hesitations. The answer is no. No. Because you have to put things in perspective. You know, the Gemara extends it to an abortion. We're not going to extend it on our own to someone who's single, and therefore by the same token, or similar token, we're not going to extend it to someone who's practicing contraceptives with pills. Please, let's not get carried away. True, but there's I'll answer you. Grama means you're causing something indirectly, right? You took a human being who's 50 years old, and you do something, you lock him up, you hang him, and the result that he dies. Okay, it's a terrible thing. Grama tzicha, but it's not a capital offense. In our case, you did something with your hand, but the individual to whom you did it, as such, Basher Hu Sham, another possibility we'll be reading soon, is not a human. It's only that this fetus has the potential to become a human. So your snuffing out the life of the fetus is in effect causing a full human life never to come into existence. That could be the equivalent of a kind of a grammar team. I wouldn't have said it on my own, but the Rama puts it in the same halacha, and I believe it's the Abdel Nezer who makes this link, which is a logical answer to your question. Maybe we're better off without a logical answer. But that's what he suggests, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. Now, I want to add something. Because Rav Moshe understands this tosis to mean, you look and you'll see, that it is an Isser of Ratzicha. The tosis of Rosh adds one little phrase, which we don't have in our tosis. The Efshad Afilu Be'ovah Gachov M'shari, that's how our tosis ends, in Sanhedrin Afnun Tesam and Aleph. But the tosis of Rosh adds, the Eino Nefesh. Once again, Eino Nefesh. The same exact language that we saw in Rashi on that Ayin Beis, on it Beis. So a Goy is Chayim and is not Pikuach Nefesh, Mikzeres HaKasuv. You see clearly from the Tosas of Rosh, it's not an Iser of Ritzicha. You get an impression, even for a Goy, it's not an Iser of it's not considered to be a Nefesh, the impression of the Tosas of Rosh. The Efshad Afilu Be'ovah Gachav M'shari Da Eino Nefesh. Even for a guy, he added two words. So why is a guy Chayav Misa if it's not a Nefesh? Listen, some posts can suggest that a guy could be Chayav is what we call in our language Abizrayu. For much is bothered, if you're going to tell me that abortion is only, we'll call it Chavolah, is a guy Chayav in Chavolah? So I wouldn't necessarily want to say no to that question. A guy is allowed to hit somebody. Could be a no. A guy can't hit somebody for a variety of reasons. Which one of the seven misses may it be? Maybe it's Gezel, maybe it's Dinim, whatever it may be, it could be what it is. But we could also argue it's a kind of an Abizrayu, the Ritzicha, and therefore there's a measure of guilt in Bez Nishamata for a non Jew. Now, you may know the famous Rabbeinu Yonah. Some of us learn Musa this time of the year in Elul. Rabbi Yonah says, if you embarrass somebody, it's literally an Abizrayu d'shvichas damim. Hamalva p'nei chavera b'ravim. You're causing the blood literally to spill, to drain from his face. And that's how he explains the Gemara, which tells us, mutav sheyapil atno l'tof kivshan ha'esh v'al yalvan es p'nei chavera b'ravim. What's this? So Rabbi Yonah explains it because the Malva b'ravim is a kind of an Abizrayu. And I'm not passing anything about this. I'm just giving you a show you how far Derech HaMusar the Rabbi Nion is going. But going back to more practical cases, we can suggest that abortion is an abizrayu de shvichasam. It's not really because it's not a nefesh yet, but it's approximate to nefesh. It's a potential nefesh. You know, it's close to a nefesh. It will be a nefesh. And as a result, it can be considered abizrayu. And abizrayu itself might be enough to give a capital punishment to someone who is not Jewish. That's another possibility to explain this. In any event, Rabbi Osa, I believe, therefore, not only is the second teretz in Tosfos and Tes say it's not considered a nefesh, as the Tosfos Rosh Hashanah explicitly, but even the first teretz agrees. Even the first teretz, which holds like the Pope, and considers abortion to be prohibited even therapeutically for non-Jews, also agrees that it is not a nefesh. But they say, the Gzeres HaKosov, whatever it may be, Shovach Dam Adam Adam, says it's even Yehoreg V'al Yavar. And for a non-Jew, that's the din. For a Jew, there's no Gzeres HaKosov, it's not considered to be a nefesh. It's mutter, we can suggest, even without a heter of Pikuach Nefesh. It's a complicated story. It's a long story. Again, I'm not going into all the details of this complex issue. I would like to spend the rest of the day on introducing the Easter Sheet of the Rambam. So far, to summarize, abortion is prohibited by the Torah, not by the Rabbanah, by the Torah itself. That's clear. What the nature of the prohibition is far from clear. Rav Moshe insists it's Nisar of Rashicha. And others, we quoted the Torah's Chesed, and there are many others who say, no, it can't be Nisar Ratzicha, it's an Isser of something else. Our preferred alternative was Chavol. Okay, Rabbi Osai? What's the difference between Ratzicha and Chavol? They're both also a tremendous difference. What about Litzoreh? For a warranted purpose. If it's plain Chavolah, we know that a warranted purpose would permit it. If, however, it is an Isser of Ratzicha, at first glance, nothing short of pikuach nefesh mamish will allow it. Any more questions before we start the Rambam Shita? Yes.
If you say that it's related or it might be kind of grounded in Sita, then we say that it's Yoraisa on that basis. Is there an issue of whether Rambas in general are us or Yoraisa or Rabbanim?
Good. Very good. In other words, the suggestion is being made, we'll call it a Yoraisa, not because of Hashkos Zera, and not because of the Mei Volodas, and not even because of Chavala, because of Gram Ratzicha. Gram Ratzicha is an Issa D'Oraisa. Excellent. That would be the most serious of all ways of saying it's also a D'Oraisa, presumably. Gram Ratzicha sounds offhand to be a very serious Issa D'Oraisa, even though it's not punishable by anything. You know, Anochi Ed Rosh Meimo, the Gram Ratzicha is a Misa B'Dei Shamayim, as opposed to Chavala, which could be punishment will be day autumn, whether it be by Vumamon or Malchus, it's still getting third parking subis. But okay, so good. It's a very good suggestion. Okay. Yes, have a question?
Does Moshe ever suggest that it's grammatic?
I don't remember. You have the children in front of you. I don't believe he says. I think he's considered to be Ratzicha proper. Let us turn our attention to Shitas HaRambam and see what he says. The Rambam should be on the Maamar Makomos towards the beginning. See, the Torah's Chesed is here, the Chavos Yor is here. Let's read the Rambam. We can read it on page 9, page 8 actually. Page 8 is the Rambam. Halacha Tes. This is a famous Rambam that everybody talks about. Halacha Tes. Afzu mitzvahs lo saseh. Shalolochos al nefesh harodeh. You may not have mercy on the rodeh. Lefichach horu chachamim. Sheha'ubra shi makshalelet. Mutter lachto ha'uber v'meyeha. Be'besam, be'beyat. B'nei shehu, and here's the most important word of all. Kirodeh achareha lahorga. V'mishahotzi rosho ein nogin bo. Shein dochin nefesh mipnei nefesh v'zehu tivo shel olam. This is the world famous Rambam. The Rambam is difficult immediately on two levels. The Gemara seems to have concluded in Ayin Beis and Medbeis and Sanhedrin that an Uber is not a Rodef, and the Rambam uses the word Rodef. Is that question clear? It's a very obvious question. Our Gemara said, let it be like Katan a Rodef, and the Gemara said, no, it's Mishmaya Karatfale. It's not considered to be a Rodef. And the Rambam says it is considered to be a Rodef. Question number one. Question number two, a logical question. If indeed it's a rodef, then what do you mean? Imishahotzi rosho einogimbo. What do you mean? Herodef. The average rodef is 50 years old. He's hotzi rosho 50 years ago. He can still kill him. So it's a double question against the Rambam. He's against the Gemara and he's against the Rambam. Rambam is against the Gemara because the Gemara says it's not a rodef. Rambam says it is a rodef. It's against the Rambam because the Rambam himself says that hotzi rosho, you can't touch him. Why not? The rodef you can kill. Those are the tremendous questions against the Rambam. Very, very powerful questions. Very powerful. Very, very powerful. So the Torah's Chesed cites a remarkable Rambam as precedent for this, which unfortunately you can't see on this page. Had the person who did the Xeroxing copied the entire page of the Rambam, on a typical standard Rambam of this kind of print, he has page 119, see in the top left? Had he put in line 18, page 118 as well, you would have seen the very last Rambam in Hilchos Chovel Umazik, which immediately precedes Hilchos Rotzeach Ushmiras Nefesh. And that's where you would find this amazing Rambam, which is linked, according to many authorities, to the Rambam that we just discussed. The other Rambam is the following case. Take a look, it's found over here in the, you'll find it at page 13. The Sefer Torah Chesed, end of the second comma, Rambam, big bold letters, a Rambam. Okay, it's quoted in the Smachat Shulchan Aruch too. Sfina shechishva lihishaver. Right, the phrase taken from Yonah. We're going to read that soon too. A ship is about to capsize. Mikoved hamasui. Because of it's overloaded. They put too much weight, and the boat's about to capsize. The Omar Echad Mehen, and one of the people on the boat stood up. Vehekil mimaso, and he lightened the load. Vehishlich biyam, and he threw the extra weight into the sea. Potur, he's exempt from paying. The guy said, "You threw my grand piano into the." Into the ocean that cost $10,000. Give me ten. What? Money saved your life. He saved your life. The boat would have gone under. You would have gone under. You would have drowned. She hamasa sheba. That weight we call it the piano. Kimo rodef achareihem lahargo. Umitzvah rabba osash lehishlich. Vahoshiyam, end quote. The weight is kemo rodef. Yes?
But here it's going to leave it anyway. So what was that American
one? Good question.
Good question. Law, I mean,
right, okay. Excellent question, which we will not go into. That's a very good question. What's most striking about this Rambam is it uses the expression rodef with respect to an inanimate object. An inanimate object. That's quite striking. But what else is striking about the Rambam? For those who are medayek in Lashon HaSeh Rambam, as my Rebbe used to. Kimo Rodev. He didn't say Rodev. Kimo Rodev. And for those who look back at the original Rambam, what did he say? Kirodev. Rav Soloveitchik, Zichron Levracha, made a big deal out of about Kirodev and Kimo Rodev. And his fundamental approach, part of it is in Rav Chaim, part of it is in the Evan HaOzel, which is also here somewhere, is as follows. Sridi Eish also goes to Rav Chaim, that in order to be a real Rodev, you have to have intention to kill someone. A Katan, okay, can also have intention. He's considered to be a Rodev. When the Rambam says kirodev or kamorodev, he does not mean to say rodev. He knew how to say rodev. This is not it. And therefore, the Rambam is not against the Gemara. We said the Gemara said that the fetus is not a rodev. The Rambam said it's kirodev. Yeah, no stira. It's kirodev, but not a real rodev. So the question then becomes, why did the Rambam write kirodev? Why did he write over kimorodev? Here's the answer. He wrote kirodev in Hilchas Rotzeach, and he wrote kimorodev in Hilchas Chovel, in order to pater you from something that you otherwise would have been guilty of. In order to say something was mutter, when otherwise it would have been aser. We're not discussing murder over here. We're not discussing rodev over here. The stakes are somewhat lower. The Rambam is saying as follows. Since he's not a real rodev, once his head emerges, you can't touch him. So he has the kasha, a steer mineo bay in the Rambam. If the Rambam views him as a rodev, why can't you kill him even after the head emerged? What's the answer? He's not a rodev. He's kirodev. He's kirodev. A quote kirodev, you cannot kill. But kirodev, kimorodev, is cited by the Rambam in these two places in order to, number one, permit an individual, like make him a hero, for throwing the piano overboard and saving everybody from drowning. And you're not going to make him pay a penny, because the piano is kimorodev, not a real rodev, it's inanimate. Kimorodev. And in a similar vein, gentlemen, in a similar vein, the person performed an abortion to save the life of the mother. Rabbosai, abortion is an Issa d'oraisa. What right do you have to perform this abortion? All right, so it's not Ratzicha, we'll say. But we said it's an Issa d'oraisa. What right do you have to violate this Issa d'oraisa? Says the Rambam, you know what right you have? Because the fetus is kirodev. Kirodev is necessary to be matir, whatever other iser it is. If you look carefully, when this din is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, and the Sma, the start of the Shulchan Aruch, says exactly so. That according to the Mechaber, who quotes the Rambam, and the Note of Yudas is exactly the same thing. Even according to the Rambam, the baby is not a nefesh, Rabbosai. It would not be considered to be murder. Nonetheless, you require this kirodev to be matir whatever isadorais exists. We suggested chavala as the prime possibility. Oh. This is how I would prefer to read the Rambam. If this is the case, gentlemen, the Rambam is in sync but the other Rishona we had, the way we learned Rashi and we learned the Ran, that the Uber is not considered to be a Nefesh. If it's not considered to be a Nefesh, why must the Rambam explain Midin Rodev? The answer is, number one, if not Rodev, it's Kirodev. And the Kirodev is here to be Matir some lesser Isser. As Kimorodev is Matir the Isser of Mazik, when you throw the piano into the sea, so too, the Kirodev is matter the issue of chavala, or what you want to call it, gramatzi, whatever you want to call it, which would normally be prohibited, midoraisi, you're not allowed to do an abortion. But because of the kamorodev principle, it is permissible and even laudatory to do that. This is my pshat in the Rambam. It's based upon what the Rav said, and there's a Rav Chaim, and there's an Evin HaOzel, and there's a Torah Chesed. Again, all four say slightly different takes on the similar theme. However, yes. What's mutter? In general terms, chas the chalila. Abortion is an isa d'orais. I'm suggesting according to everybody, the sfiriyeshu, the sheet of the chuya. Everyone agrees it's an isa d'orais. The isa d'oraisa, since it's not an absolute isa of murder, is mutter in the situation of kirodev. You're saving someone's life. Bottom line, so. In order to save someone's life, you're unable to violate this lesser Torah prohibition. That's what it means. Kirodev, that's all it means. Huh? That's what I think. Yes?
According to the notion of Good question. Excellent question. Excellent question. So this is what Rav Moshe has to say. Rav Moshe says an amazing, amazing chat. He quotes a Yerushalmi. This I like, maybe you can see inside. This, see, this is a, the children of Rav Moshe is here, is copied from the Sefer Zikaron, was ultimately, subsequently printed in Igros Moshe proper. Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Beis, Simon Samach Tefesh. It's really update these source books. It's written Yisru Chag Sukkos Tov Shalom Zayin. Goes back quite a way. Right? It's going back almost 30 years. Almost 26 years. 27 years. Almost 27 years. A long time ago. So in this tshuva, it's page 46, I believe, in this source book. You'll see some of the things that we spoke about earlier are underlined. I really want to save time by not going into that full discussion. It's quite emphatic against the Sfirat Yesh. I believe he's correct when he talks about the issue of whether it's the Raisa or the Rabbana. I'd like to show you the following remarkable quotation. It's on page 48, the beginning of the page. It's taken from a Sefer Zikaron, but it's written by Rav Moshe. It says on top of Rav Moshe Feinstein, and then Arigas Uba. I think it was Zikaron for Rav Cheskel Abramsky, but I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Well, the Taret Kushich Amurazu against the Rambam, look what the Rav Chaim says. Then he says, Vano Zeira min de min Chavraya. I, the smallest of the group. We may shifti be London. Zachisi the Taret Bederach Achim. Shagam Kein Nocha. Rav Chaim is right. The Maipchen is also right. Rav Moshe. Alpi HaYerushalmi. And if you want to see what I said, look it up. It's in Yoredeya Simon Samach Anaf Beis. Shenimsa Shalom Kosher Klum. What's there? What's there? Rav Moshe quotes the Yerushalmi. What exactly does the Yerushalmi say? It's important to know the words of the Yerushalmi. Very important to know the words of the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, the Yerushalmi says as follows, that Eini Yodea, listen carefully, that's how Rav Moshe quotes it there, Eini Yodea mi rodefes mi. Or as he quotes it over here in summation, he says, the Bishvil Zeh, I'm just giving you the line begins the word Zeh, about the 10th line of the paragraph, because of the Svara of Mishumaya Karatfale, let me read this off a little line earlier. Darei Kasafti, he's quoting himself. The tam ishmaya karat filo ain't no tam lomash ain't a rodef, no. Ela de bishvil zahavu shneim rodfin. Kiloshen a Yerushalmi ain't at yodea mi horiges mi. Upirshu bekar ban edo v'pnei Moshe. Ain't at yodea im a katon rodef as a isha. O a isha rodef as a katon. What a remarkable interpretation. Not the pshat that there's no rodef. The pshat is, in effect, if you will, there were two rodfim. Whoa. That's quite a powerful interpretation of Rav Moshe. They're both rodef one another. So therefore, what happens? If the child's head has emerged, you can't kill the child, chas v'shalom, even though the child is a rodef, because just as the child is being rodef the mother is being rodef the child. Right? The child threatens to kill the mother. The mother, by the mother's womb being in the way, is killing the child. So they wrote it for one another, says Rav Moshe. Sharek Sheharei Zehavik Behotzi Rosho Sheyeshno Tarvayu Baharadifo. Avok, he's giving a summation of what he wrote. Avok Shadayin Ubor B'meyimo. Sheba Uber Eino Adayan Nefesh Gomur. She Nimsa Shall ha yisron she'ika la'aim ha'uba, not differential. She'hi nefesh gomer. Who ain't on that dying nefesh gomer? Rak have rak ha'uba rodef v'ha'aim ena rodefes. What a remarkable interpretation. Rabosai, there are two parts to life. Nefesh she'eino gomor and nefesh gomor. So on the nefesh she'eino gomor level, even when the child is in utero, we can argue what each one is relative to the other. But on the nefesh gomor level, the child in utero has not reached that level yet. So therefore, the child is being rodef for that differential in its mother. The nefesh gomer is over and above the anal gomer, and the mother cannot be considered as being rodef for the child. The child is not a nefesh gomer yet. So for being rodef for that differential, for this, the fetus is put to death. What a remarkable interpretation for Rav Moshe. Yeah?
Is it not true that the uber, although Olav is rosho, he has to be the rodef because he's the one that's causing all the problems in the mother? Of course the mother's good. And what would you say if mama should have been in there? The guy's going with a gun, he's going to shoot him. So you say if the other guy retaliates, he's also rolling.
That's true in the case with his motivation, we said earlier. Reuben is taking a gun to kill Shimon. So Reuben is clearly the road if no one's going to say that Shimon is rolling by being there, blaming the victim. That's ridiculous. A chutzpah, Shimon is being there. Reuben wants to rob a bank. Shimon's in the way. A chutzpah, Shimon is a rolling. Only some of the warped logic from the Middle East now would say that. Chmon al-Islam. But in this case, where there's no motivation anywhere, then one could argue logically, look, the child doesn't know what it's doing. So the brick wall in its way is the mother's stomach. So that's considered rolling to it. Is it rolling to her?
The fact that he doesn't know what he's doing is not a criteria. The fact is that he is a rolling. He's the one that actually started the whole situation.
No, disagree. Here's going to come very critical. Disagree. I think that, in my view, Rav Moshe may have a little different view than me, but one could certainly argue that if you have no intention to kill, you're not a rodef at all. That's how we try to explain according to other Rishonim, based on Rashi, the Ran, the Ramban, and even the Rambam, we suggest that way. It's kirodef, kimoadef. Just as the grand piano on the boat is kimorodef, no intention to kill. It's not a real rodef, it's kimorodef. So to a fetus, it's kirodef. That's all I wanted to suggest. I do concede, though, that Rav Moshe has a somewhat different interpretation. Let me just finish and see what he has to say. Says Rav Moshe, therefore, they are in effect both rofim, one of the other. One of the other. This is chat in the Yerushalmi. Oh, why don't we consider the mother to be a rodef of the child when the child is in utero? Why not? Here's the answer. Because the child in utero is not an independent organism. The child in utero is a dependent organism. And therefore, we're not going to consider the mother to be rodef, the uber, when the mother is the host independent organism and the child is a dependent organism. That could be potential pshat, according to what we're saying over here. Yesh bo adifus in achil shi nefesh gomor shall ze have a rak uber odef below ha'isha. Okay. This is a pshat which the Rav Moshe is trying to Yerushalmi that way, and he wants to impose, if you will, this pshat on Rashi as well. I thought, frankly, that Rashi is not at all mashmah that way, and I thought it really can't be that way. Someone asked before, according to Rav Moshe, how do you do an abortion, even a therapeutic abortion? What happens to the principle of murder? You're murdering somebody. So what are you going to answer? You're going to answer that the child is a rodef. Huh? How do you know? You know that for sure that the mother's going to die. So if you look very carefully here in Ramesh's Shuvah, in the very same Shuvah, it says something which is mind-boggling to me. I don't think it's followed anywhere in the whole wide world, to my knowledge. Take a look at the same page. The last few letters, I mean, this is, blows your mind. Look what he says. He said like this. The only heter, according to Ramesh, to do an abortion, is only La'atzolas imo, the last paragraph on the page, Shlo Thomas Bulei Dasa, who I had there. V'lo b'shul shum tzorech, de'o'ein, she's the Osir B'pshitas, who times the Horesi, she'af her sharof over, she has chashash, shema Thomas a'ein, kishlo yago, esa ubar, there's a chance. Af shalin chil shabbos, chol yisurim, ha'yom v'chalim, v'yom over, v'midas, chashash amru. Look at this now. Larofim Gedola Korov Levadai Shetamos Aim Rebbeinu Shel Olam Korov Levadai, less than that not. Teme'achadu Mitzad Shenechshav Rodef Sorach Sheyia, next page. Kain Vadai Shurodev. Can't believe it. I don't think it's true even within Rodev Gufa. If you have a situation where you think that someone is about to do something, but you're not sure, that's a tough call. I realize it's a tough call, but what do you do? I thought even in that case he is a Rodev. Ramesh Shem says, only if it's Karov Levada is considered to be a Rodev. What if you see some threatening force? And if you kill him, so everyone's going to be safe. If you don't kill him, then we don't know what's going to happen. You need a Karov Levada to kill? I mean, don't tell this to the people who are defending Am Yisrael Be'eretz Yisrael. Let us read a little further. I think he's a Rodev. I mean, I don't know the statistics. If a BB gun can be lethal, shoots you between the eyes, it can kill you. In my view, that's a Rodev. I'm not talking about a water gun. No, but let's go a little further. The gun pashut shein chiluk lefizeh ben avlados any child. Av avlados shel lefidas erofen hem keilu keilu shlo yichyu shon aramis gahab din aladim ezi aladim b'macha nikras teisaks. And you do amniocentesis, it doesn't make one bit of difference. Asur came to laim like a sakana, Vienna rodev, ein lahatir afilish hatsariya godl maod gam yechlu aim va'avmizeh. And therefore, don't even do the amniocentesis because you can't do the abortion. This is the psak of Rav Moshe. Wow, very powerful psak. My time is up. Next week, I would like to begin by making a suggestion, my own suggestion, that I want to, the best defense is a good offense. Rav Moshe had his pshat in the Yerushalmi, and he said, that's pshat in the Bavli too. That means Mishamayi Karavah, they're both being wrote in Zezeh. So I could split the difference with Rav Moshe and say, listen, Rav Moshe is right in the Yerushalmi, and I'm right in the Bavli, we follow the Bavli. But I want to go on the offensive. I want to explain to you a pshat, I think it's Meduyuk, that even within the Yerushalmi, against Rav Moshe, but rather in conformance with the shita which we try to describe at length, which is the shita of the Bavli. After doing that, Rav Osai, I'd like to give a summary of some of the halacha lemaisa situations in terms of abortions. But if somebody today has a question, a particular question, an issue that you want discussed during next week's shiur after we finish mincha, let me know, and if I can, I'll bring it up next Thursday.